Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I started a series on Sunday that I could be on easily till half of next year. I started a series called The Dividing Line. And if you weren't here Sunday, I encourage you to listen to that. It's just the introduction is about all I got out. And I'm going to hit more of that next week. But on Wednesday nights, I wanted to really get some practical application from the Word on how we as Christian people need to operate, how what we need to do. And so tonight, I want to talk about operating in wisdom. Being wise thinkers, wise thinking needs to be a product of how we operate as Christians. And sometimes we throw out wisdom when that was our answer. Well, I'm just believing God, and I know what God says about wisdom. Do you? Let's talk about it, because there are some things that God has shown me over the last 20 years that I've got to keep on this topic and how we set things up. If you have your Bibles, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask for it. God gives generously to those who ask. Now, I like the Amplified Version. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. God wants to give you wisdom. He has a desire to give you wisdom. Here's the thing. A lot of Christians never ask. They just don't ask. God, I'm needing wisdom here. When's the last time you said that to God? I mean, that's a question. God, I'm needing wisdom, and I'm believing you to download that in me. But some people ask for wisdom, but either they don't listen to the wisdom that was given, or they don't act upon what they received. Now, I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that position. I always do on hindsight, you know. I always look back and go, boy, God gave me some real wisdom there, and I just didn't listen. I won't ask, but I'm just looking at you smiling and know what a lot of us have been right there. God, I'm needing some wisdom here, and he gave it to you, and then you either didn't act upon it or you didn't listen. What is wisdom? Wisdom, let me give you a definition. Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. And I like this last, the quality of being wise. If you are someone with wisdom, you either have experience, knowledge, or good judgment, or you are seen as wise. Acting out of wisdom produces things. I mean, it just produces in your life. Now, some things are wise pending. Just dot, dot, dot. That's wise. Depending on three things. How can I know if that's wise? Well, you've got to put whatever you're looking at, and you fill in the blank of what it is, you've got to put what you're looking at as wise in the culture that it's in. You've got to put it in the timing that it's in, and you've got to be a fruit inspector of what it's going to produce or be perceived as. Boy, I just want to really get into some topics tonight that I think will help us as we are finding ourselves with lines all the time. We ask the Lord for wisdom on how to handle a situation. And come on, a lot of times we're asking because we need to know where to say no and where to say yes. Where do we draw this line as parents? My wife and I were there all the time. We just need some wisdom on what to do with our kids, because I couldn't find the exact answer. Tristan's going, really? Yeah, all the time. We were asking, God, help us with this girl. Help us, give us some wisdom on what we... Now, you might say, you're thinking in your mind some major things. I'm just talking about little things. God, I'm needing some wisdom on what we need to do here. Do we need to do this weekend, or do we need to do that? And nowhere can I find in Scripture the answer to do this or that. But I just need to know some wisdom. Which one do we do? Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I'm not going to read it in two or three different versions. I'm just going to read it out of the Amplified tonight because I think it's very, very informative the way this is explained. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the wise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, and stupidity. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible says to live as wise, not unwise. Well, that's all fine and dandy, except for who's the one that determines that? Once again, we've got to understand that wisdom comes from experience, one of the areas, or knowledge. We were talking about that. So Ephesians 5:15 tells us, Christian people, Paul writing this, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Live like those who are wise. Once again, there are a bunch of lines that Christians draw which are not in Scripture, but they're still lines. Nevertheless, they're lines. And here's what I have found. One of the biggest tools of the enemy is getting Christians frustrated with other Christians over lines that one has drawn that the other one didn't. But mom, dad, they have a cell phone. Mom, dad, they get to go to the party. But other people get to go to their house. Why can't I? See, all that. And we find ourselves, especially young people, youth, hear me tonight. You're asking this question, show me in Scripture where God says that's not okay. Show me in the Bible where it says I can't do this or I can. Show me in Scripture where it's not okay to go on a date at 15. Show me in Scripture where it's not okay in the Bible. I mean, they were getting married at 15, mom and dad. So, I mean, show me in Scripture where it says you can't drink. Let me just go out and tell you, it doesn't. And the first miracle Jesus performed was turning water into wine. Well, I just don't know. So, but what about drinking? We're asking the question all the time, show me in Scripture where it's wrong to, and we're asking the wrong question. The question we need to be asking is it wise? Because Ephesians 5:15 says, live as wise. Well, how do we know it's wise? We know from experience, we know from knowledge, and we know from fruit that it produced. Boy, I'm telling you, just some stuff here that I think if we would learn how to live in wisdom, life would be different. I find myself all the time not being able to answer a lot of questions biblically for things that I've drawn the line on. Now, it's just a personal deal for me, but I find it all the time drawing lines in certain places. Pastor, why do you draw a line there? Because Scripture didn't. Because I don't see the wisdom in it. So I've drawn a line based on Ephesians 5:15, not drawing a line based on this is sin. Can I say that again? Because you need to get that. There's a lot of lines that I have drawn based on Ephesians 5:15. I haven't drawn them because Scripture outlines that it's wrong to do it. But I don't see the wisdom in our culture. I think the timing's off. And I think that it's not producing the fruit that I'm looking for. So when I make the comment that I'm not good with alcohol, you need to hear my heart. I'm not telling you that it's against the word to have a drink. What I have seen in my own life, here's why I draw a line. I'm not drawing somebody else. God told me. So when I'm preaching and teaching, you're going to hear from my heart. And my heart is not to condemn anybody else. My heart is this. I've not seen the wisdom. I grew up around a lot of alcohol. And I saw the effects of alcohol for a long time growing up. And then you push me on into my adulthood, and my family was almost taken out twice by a drunk driver. Now, well, people need to learn self-control. I get that, but at what age are you having self-control? At 21, when it's legal to do that, are people mature enough in the Lord to have self-control? I don't know. It's not for me to figure out for you. It's for me to tell you why I drew the line I drew. See, my culture, my experience, and everything, I've yet to see anybody go, God, thank you so much for the six-pack. God, I'm so grateful to be able to drink this wine right now. And I'm just telling you, I think it would do something if you saw my family out on vacation with a bunch of alcohol in our hands and it posted all over Facebook. See, I just think it would. So as far as me and my house, we're not doing that. And the reason we're not is because I don't see the wisdom in it. And I've yet to have anybody with an argument other than it's not against the word to show me the wisdom in it. Amen. Well, it's not against the word. You win. You're right. But what about Ephesians 5:15? And I'm not trying to discredit anybody. I'm just saying that's a line we have drawn. Now, I drew the same line with cell phones. But my kids at the age that cell phones were going on were not quite as advanced as they are right now. And now a cell phone has to have a lot of wisdom behind the user. And so 16 years old may have some knowledge, but do they have the experience on what to say no to? And do they have the ability? I don't know. See, parents, you'll have to make that decision. But as far as what we did, we were real careful about the access that we gave because, I'll be just straightforward, we were counseling the effects of it all the time. So I saw what it was doing to families and to families' lives, seeing what the internet has done to marriages. I have watched. So do I just outlaw the internet? No. But there's some filters and some things that certain people probably need to have on their internet. See, there's just some things that I've got lines that I can't go and say, okay, Ephesians says this about internet. It's not there. But Ephesians 5:15 is. And it says to live as wise. Biblical precedents cannot always give you the definition for how to live your life. Sometimes you've got to see at what's going to be produced from a biblical perspective. The question is not always, is it a sin? The question needs to be, is it wise? Is it wise? Parents, this can really help you when you're talking to your young people. I'm not trying to condemn anybody tonight. I'm trying to give you some information that'll help you to live life. Several years ago, a list of points for living wise was given to me, and I wanted to share a few of them tonight. They were given to me, and it really just made a major impact in my life. And I refer to them a lot in how I operate and what I do. And so let's go through a few of them and start with the first one tonight. If you want to live wise, you've got to control impulsiveness. We are an impulsive people, really. I mean, look at how all the ads are set up to entice you to buy something. They're set up to get you to do it now, right now. Never make a permanent decision on a temporary situation. Never make a permanent decision on a temporary situation. This is just a temporary situation, and you're using extremes. I will never go back there again. We'll use extremes and we will give a permanent declaration on something that's temporary. Yes, the discussion got a little heated. I get that. We've all been there. And so then we make a declaration that I'll never be in this. And you just got to understand that that's an impulsive declaration. And so we made a permanent decision on a temporary situation. Impulsive means to act or to do without forethought, or it means to act without self-control. Proverbs 25, 28. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. You want to let the enemy in? It's like a city whose walls are broken down. You want to let the enemy in, then just don't exhibit self-control. Because when you get out of control, then someone else has the ability to come in. And you don't want that. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. 2 Timothy 4, 5. Keep your head in all situations. I like that. Come on, keep your head in all situations. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Come on. We know all of these. What's the last one it talks about? Self-control. Self-control. It's a big deal. Wade talks about it a lot, and I like that. Because we are a people who tend to lose it. And self-control doesn't lose it. So if we're going to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, we're not going to lose it. Psalm 27, 14. Wait patiently for the Lord. You ever get yourself in a position that you perceive that you're in need of something? And I will use the word perceive here because really all of our needs are met. But we get this perception inside of us, I have to have that. I don't know what that is, but you do. I do, and I'm not talking about me right now. I'm just filling the blank. My wife can tell you all of mine, and I can tell you all of hers. A perception that I really need this. So you get excited about something. And it could be something really big, or it could be something that's not that big. But regardless of how big it is or small it still costs you. And so you perceive that you need something that has a cost behind it. And sometimes that cost is extreme, and sometimes that cost is worth it. It all is based on the mind of the perceiver. But have you ever perceived that you needed something and then you told your spouse and they were like, you don't need that? I find myself having been there a few times in my life, and I know she would say the same thing. But what we do is we make decisions sometimes in life based on emotion or based on the lack of self-control. We make this decision and it cost us. And a lot of people will make decisions that cost them for years. And you look back later and go, man, I wish I would not have made that decision. I've got a few of those in my life. I mean, and I talk about a lot of them, but control impulsiveness. I saw this really cool BMW one time and I just went and bought it and brought it home. Thought my wife would be thrilled. And she wasn't. But she didn't have a choice because I already bought it. Now it was an older BMW. And we got it home. And we didn't drive it for a week or two. And the seat fell backwards that you sit in. The motor went out. And the cost to replace the motor was more than I paid for the car. So a baseball bat was a lot cheaper. I had one of those. Stuck it in there. Held the back of the seat up. I'm telling you, for the whole time I was paying for this car, I was miserable. Why? Because I bought it on impulse. And I just know that a lot of times we get, and if we're going to be wise, we got to control impulsiveness. People get married and they look back and go, I should have never got married. You know, the sad part is there's times they're right. They shouldn't have. They did that on impulse. They had a night in Vegas that they didn't really think that they should have done, and they went to the little Elvis place and got married. You think that's funny? I know two people that did that. They didn't draw a line first. Anyway, that's... You buy a car, you buy a truck, you buy a house, you buy a horse. I don't know. I've been in all those situations, and I've asked myself, was that wise? See, impulsiveness will cause you to do things at times. In life, you'll hear it said, never make a big decision in life without thinking on at least 24 hours. There's something to be said about that, and I did with my wife. I thought for over 24 hours, so just so you know, because I said spouse in the area that, anyway, my mind's backing up on what I just said. Car dealers always want you to buy today. I can't tell you the amount of time I've been in a car dealer and they said, if you will buy this before you leave, this is your deal. If you call me back later, that's not going to stand. Really? I don't guess I need it that bad. And you walk out. That takes a lot of willpower when you really want that car. See, self-control is one thing, but when you know I've got to control impulsiveness and you start living like that, you can walk into a car dealer a lot easier when you know I can control impulsiveness. Why? Because I'm a person of wisdom. So you got to know these things on the front end, not on the back end, because it'll cost you if you figure it out on the back end. You date for a week and you want to get married. Hold on here. You buy something just because they gave you a loan. You have been approved. Hot dog, let's go spend it. You're not spending anything. You're going in debt. See, you're spending money you ain't made yet. And we're in a position where we don't think things through and we don't live as wise. Instantly approved. Buy all you want. And then we got people in credit card debt like you wouldn't believe. I just see it in every area of the natural life. And I think that if Satan can get you caught up there, then you can't believe God for things that he has for you because you can't see this life working. And the whole reason, well, they didn't say anything in Scripture about that. Well, yeah, they did. Ephesians 5:15 talked a lot about it. You just don't understand what wisdom is. And so there was a time in my life, and I still fight this, just sharing, of wanting to do everything that is available. I want to try everything. And that can get you in a lot of trouble. The sports, the different things that I have played, I didn't want to just kind of do it. I wanted to be the best at it. I know you may look at me and go, really? Yeah, there was a time. Now I'm past that time. But there is a self-control that has to come for you to live in wisdom. But know this, you can live out of sin and still not have self-control. You're not in sin, but you still have no self-control. I know a lot of Christians who have no self-control but don't live in sin, but they're miserable. And it's just because they don't understand that there's some avenues that could give them some wisdom, but they don't have it. Self-control will come from a close relationship with the Lord and allowing him to download the right priorities and dying to self, because a lack of self-control is not a complete put to death of self. And so we've got to work on putting to death self. Number two that I want to talk about tonight, being wise. If you're going to be wise and live under some wisdom, you got to be aware. I don't know what I just did, sorry. Being wise, you got to be aware of blind spots that are caused by emotions. A lot of us, and I just put us all together, have made decisions based on feeling. And we got to be careful about this. Now, I also want to be careful to share that sometimes emotions will get your attention where it needs to be. I have been in a service and started getting emotional, And I'm telling you, I started experiencing the things of God. So emotion was the first thing that happened to know something was there, and it got my attention. But a lot of the times, emotion is a tool that Satan can use, the enemy can use, to get our attention or to take our attention off of where it needs to be. Now, I say a blind spot. Let me give you some things that we may not be aware of emotionally that can cause us trouble. Anger, depression, doubt, jealousy, rejection, stress, anxiety, worry, disappointment, fear, loneliness, revenge, weariness, confusion, discouragement, busyness, frustration, procrastination, sadness, pride. All of those can be put into an emotional position to where emotion is causing us to miss what is getting ready to wreck us. Everyone here that drives should know what a blind spot is. Everybody know what a blind spot is? If you don't, then just don't drive until you talk to me. You need to know before you're out on the road that there is a blind spot, that when you're driving on a two-lane road and you're in the right lane and someone's coming up on your left, there is a place when you're looking through your left rear view, or left mirror, looking behind you, that you don't see that car. It's called a blind spot. It's the place where there's a lot of accidents happen if you're not aware that there's a blind spot. And they used to teach you to look over your left shoulder before you made certain moves to make sure nothing was there. Did anybody else get taught that? Okay, good. Here's a really cool thing. The newer cars that are coming out have a little light on your left mirror that comes on to tell you that there's a car on your left. That's pretty cool unless there's dirt on it. That has happened to me. I'm getting ready to go in the left turn and get in the left lane, and I'm kind of heading over. I signal, do everything I'm supposed to, thinking there's no one there. My light wasn't on, but we lived on a dirt road at the time, and it was very dusty. And so I went to change, and you get a honk and a swerve behind you, and all of a sudden they appear. And you're like, oops. And you can wave at them and smile or anything, and they hate you. Why? Because you almost caused an accident because you weren't aware of the blind spot. And I think a lot of people find us right here in our lives. There are decisions, there are times that you're not aware of the emotion that is going on has caused you to have a miss of what's getting ready to happen. And we get ourselves in a position that we should never be in unless we're aware that emotion can be a blind spot, can be a spot we've messed up. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. Here's the thing that I really love when I'm talking about this. The blind spot, the emotions, all those things I talked about, I could have given a verse for a lot of them. The first one I mentioned was anger. There's a lot of people who deal with anger and it's a blind spot for them. But there are also people who have learned how to deal with anger, and the Bible says to be angry and not sin. So the emotion is not always sin. So you need to know that. I'm not here to put down emotion. I'm here to tell you be aware of it so you can be wise enough to know that emotion isn't my indicator on what I'm doing. I'm going to be wise, and emotion can't be my leader here. Sometimes our emotion is excited and thrilled and we make a quick decision we shouldn't have made. I just got so excited and I shouldn't have done that. I know, but I just got so excited. Sometimes our emotion is dread, fear, worry, frustration. Say, maybe I just don't feel good about this. I don't feel good about this. And it was your feeling that made you miss an opportunity that could have blessed your socks off. See, well, I see it happen in both ways. So I'm not here, I'm just here to say, watch that emotion don't cause you to miss an accident. You got to watch that it doesn't become a blind spot for you. You got to use your emotion as something that makes you aware that this could be a blind spot and I've got to see it clearly before I move on. Wait till you see clearly and then change lanes. Wait till you see clearly and then make your move. But don't do, emotion will cause you not to see clearly. So when you switch lanes without looking over your shoulder, you can cause a pretty serious accident. You know, in life, you might not be aware, but jealousy. Well, it's just because I love you so much. Jealousy can be a blind spot that moves whoever you are holding jealous feelings for or about in contempt, and it's only hurting you. It's killing you. You may not be aware of doubt, but it's getting in the way of your healing. See, I see that a lot. Doubt's getting in the way of healing here. Healing would be coming if we could get rid of that blind spot of emotion and doubt. See, we've got so many things that we can pull out biblically, and I could spend the next 5 weeks talking about every one of these emotions, the positives and the negatives. I just want you to be aware that emotions can be a blind spot for you. You got to be aware of a rejection that was years ago by maybe a mom or dad that rejected you, and it's getting in the way of your present relationships. See, I can just go on and on and on and on. I've seen it happen time and time again. Something that happened at 5 years old, at 8 years old, at 12 years old, should have never happened. But it's caused an emotion in you that every time something brings that thought back, it's a blind spot and it's keeping you from moving forward in the relationship God has for you. So we got to be aware so that we can live wise and know what's causing these things. Before talking to a student, let's just go to Christian Ministries Academy because we have a few that are involved with that. I tell our staff, and have told them for years, and I've had to deal with this myself, before talking to a student about a situation. And just trust me, if you have a Christian school, you will have to talk to a student about a situation. You'll have to. Because that student's going to talk to a mom, or they're going to talk to a friend, and it's going to get circulated, and then it's going to get to you, and you're like, okay, what's happened? And they're going to tell you all about it. And so what I have shared with all of our leadership, you've got to remove any emotions that are flooding you before you open your mouth with counsel. You can't let emotion rule what your counsel is getting ready to be. Or it's going to be a blind spot and we're going to have a shipwreck. You got to understand that in situations, we've got the enemy winning battles because we don't know how to put that emotion into the position. I know where it's at, and I can appreciate it, and it's not going to be a blind spot. It made me aware that I'm driving. That's what it did. And I got to pay attention to what's going on. Number three, surround yourself with competent people. Competent means having suitable or sufficient skill, knowledge, experience for some purpose, being properly qualified. Let me just go out on a limb here. For those of you that think there is somebody that does this, but I'm just going to go out and tell you, no one knows everything. And I've got some biblical background for that. That's why the collective body of Christ is so important, because everybody has a different area, but no one knows everything. And so find people that know in the area that you're in need of knowing. Find competent people. If you're needing to set up sound, or you're needing to build a sound booth, if you're needing to put in a floor, if you're needing to lay some carpet, everybody knows that there are some people that are not competent, and I would be one of them. Don't call me. Unless you're wanting me to tell you somebody who I think is competent, and I say, call them. But you got to surround yourself with competent people. If you're needing a car fixed, there are competent people to fix that car. But I have taken my car to people who talked a good talk, and I thought that they were competent, and then I find out later they weren't. I don't know if anybody else has been there. But there's nothing more frustrating than when you take something for someone to do and they're not competent to get it done. It's just frustrating. Let me just clue into something. It's your fault. Oh, mine, really? Yeah. Well, I thought they were. You got to work hard on knowing where competency is. You got to know where they are qualified. What qualifies? See, no one knows everything. Now, I have met some people who think they do. And I've met people who want to act like they do. And if you ask them about anything, they're going to tell you everything that they know. Be careful not to be that person. You don't have to verbally tell your competency. It ought to be seen. It ought to be seen in the fruit of your life. One thing you can know, there are people in life who are very competent. There are people in life who are very competent in every situation. And I have found before I make big decisions, I need someone that I see as competent, and I need a voice that I know hears from God in that situation. And I know that I can go to them and they can help me to figure out what would be wise in this situation. Not everyone may agree with what is being done or how it's being done. Not everybody will agree with who you're getting to do it. I knew there needed to be a church in this area. And I went to competent people before this ever started, and we spent months in preparation. Now, I didn't go to someone who wasn't competent. I knew that there are people who were in touch with the Lord, had the fruit in their life, and so I found someone, and I said, is now the time? And they said, no, the timing's wrong. What about culture? Culture's good. What about produce? Yes, it's good. So we waited for the right timing. So you got to get all three of those areas together in every one of these so that I can operate in some wisdom. 2 Corinthians 3:5. It's not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. Church, know this. Pray about who you're trying to get some wisdom from and let God speak into your heart and life through the fruit of the person that you're talking about and let him show you. Boy, just no one cares. No one's going to help me. No one. Whoa. Have you prayed about that? Because you're just telling that God can't provide. God can provide. There's somebody competent. I just go to the practical all the time. But my grandfather had a truck that he was restoring. He wasn't able to get it completely restored. And I'm not a car guy when it comes to knowing how to do any of this on restoration. And I knew that there were people out there. And I watched a truck in a parade from Keith Henson. And I'll never forget seeing a truck that he had restored. And so I just went to Keith and said, hey, I need some help on knowing who's competent. Well, you know what he didn't say? I'm competent. He just said, I'll be happy to help you. So I called him, and one thing at a time, one person, he would lead me to the people who knew how to do what we needed done, or he'd just do it himself with me. And I watched this whole truck, and I'll never forget Grandpa walking out this door one Sunday after church, and that truck restored to a level past what he would have done it. And he walked out and got in that, and it was like, okay, there's the fruit. The timing was right. It was before he died, praise God. If timing was good, it was a real excitement for him. It was something that was put on mine and my brother's heart. And we did, and then I found competent people that could help me out, and I'll be forever grateful for a competent person who came into my life. See, I want you to know God's not leaving you out there hanging. God, who would have me, who would have wisdom for me in this area? Competent people are important that we can get help from. We are made competent by God, and God makes people competent for us. He placed giftings in us and placed giftings in others to give what is needed at the time. And he'll show you where people are competent. He will. I knew we needed a sound booth. I knew we needed it. I've seen a lot of what Wade Ford has built. And even more than that, I saw what Dan Rosworm built for Michelle and I at our house and has done countless decks around here and things we are in need of. I mean, the stage I'm standing on. Everything that we've done here, I've seen that. Well, what two better people who said, yeah, I can help in that area to take care of that? Praise God for them. Well, they didn't call me. Let me know if you're available. I'm willing to put anybody to work who wants to work, because there's a lot of things we need competency in the body of Christ.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.